Tonight is storytelling time. It's about my story. I'm the fourth child in my family, in case you do not know. There was elder sister, and then two boys, then me. And after me, four more, two boys and two girls. As a young boy, father took pleasure in telling all his friends, "This boy of mine will be a lawyer." But not knowing that there was no law school in Singapore, and secondly, that the Japanese would invade Singapore. No, we all believed in the propaganda of the British, which was quite powerful and convincing. After all, we always believed what they told us. So they sent us two battleships, the Repulse and Prince of Wales. So with these two battleships in town, we sort of felt rather comfortable, not knowing that the next day after arrival, the British sent the two battleships to show the flag in the Straits of somewhere. No, in the South China Sea. And they were promptly sent to the bottom of the South China Sea by the Japanese, not knowing that the Japanese were quite good fighters. The British always took pride in rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves, not this time. So much for history. Now, my pathway was guided along a different route. Instead of going to law, it was to medicine. After all, there were so many doctors in our family, father, sister, brother, and me coming. So after a while, it became more and more obvious that if anything, I would become a doctor, as I eventually did. Now, the Japanese came and all studies stopped. The only schools open was Nippongo Gakko, that is for the study of Japanese language. So we all went back to school or just kept quietly at home. As a young boy of 15, 16, I stayed in Batu Pahat. Now, those of you who are Malaysians may be more knowledgeable about what Batu Pahat meant. It was a small town 100 miles from Singapore. And there my sister and father practiced medicine. One night, distraught father came to the house, to the clinic, and told my father that his daughter had difficulty in delivering a baby. In fact, she had been in labor sometime from the morning until it was already night and darkness had descended when they called for help. As usual, my sister would go for the call with me in tow. So I just followed, more or less like a bodyguard. However, at the home of this patient, I think it was some kind of rubber estate, and there was an attap hut where this poor woman, primipara, that is pregnant first time, was in bed and trying to push, but no advance at all in spite of her pushing quite hard. So sister took out her forceps and applied forceps. I don't know how she got them in, but they got in quite comfortably. And then she tried pulling. However, her strength was not up to the requirement. The baby did not budge. So after some tries, she said, "You come and try." So I washed my hands and came in, and with one pull, baby came out. So sister said on the way back, "There you are, there's your career, no? You have succeeded in delivering your first child, and that could be the sign that you will become an obstetrician." As things went by, I was enrolled into the King Edward VII College of Medicine. And at that time, we all had to go through an interview. You don't just get in. But there were three professors. Two were white people. One was an Indian. And the three of them asked, "Young man, you want to be a doctor? Can you give us a reason why?" I thought to myself, after all, I've delivered a child already. So I said, "Because I have delivered a baby." "Oh, that's right. If you have delivered a baby, you can do a course in medicine." So I got enrolled. Now, that is the beginning of the story. Of course, in medical school, the first week or two is terrible ragging. You know what is ragging? They do all kinds of silly things to us who did not or could not retaliate. So we just calmly took the ragging. I don't know whether you all have ragging nowadays, but the ragging went on, and they pulled my legs and made fun of me, which, of course, you have just to quietly swallow it. Now came the first year athletic meet, and I never practiced, never trained. went in and got nothing. Came out last. And the fellow who was the winner of the 100 meters kept bragging all the time until it provoked me. I said, I will teach this man a lesson, which I did. I calculated to myself, second year, not very good. Third year is the worst because there is a professional exam and you better do well. So I reserved fourth year and I live in a place called Tiong Bahru, which is quite close to our medical school. And every morning I wake up at 6 o'clock. Is this all relevant? I'm sorry, I got to tell you something anyhow. So I walked by the back entrance and jumped over the fence, found myself inside the medical college grounds. However, in those days, we were so poor, there was no help of any kind, nothing. No sports doctors. The track was not laid or ruled. Nothing. You only have a field to run. So I thought to myself, I better do it myself. DIY, do it yourself. I brought in a large tape measure that could go, I don't know how long, but it was a long tape measure in a reel. So I measured. Those days were before metrication. You know what is metrication? Everything becomes measured in metric. But we were backwards at that time. We still measured in feet and yards. So anyhow, never mind. I measured the course and marked for myself a 440 yards course and trained, this time in the fourth year, quietly trained. Every morning, I would walk through the streets of Tiong Bahru, climb over the fence, and then train. On the sports day, it told my friend who was the champion runner, suddenly found that he was beaten at the post. Just as they say, you win by a nose. So he said to me, Xiang Hua, I never knew you could run. I said, Kam Po, I never knew I could run. But the results tell. So from that day, he stopped boasting. This was quite effective, a lesson for him. I never took part in athletics after that anyhow. I had done my job, achieved my objective, and this man was quite quiet after that. Now, fourth year, fifth year, we came and there was an examination in obstetrics. Wow, I wrote something that the professor called Benjamin Shears thought it was good and gave me a good mark. And so I came home and told my sister, and she said, you see, you are going to be a gynecologist. You've done so well in obstetrics and gynecology. This is your future. And you will succeed Professor Shears. I thought that was a rather daring prediction of my future. Anyhow, I did eventually, because I topped in obstetrics and gynecology, in the final examination, Now, how did I succeed him? Tonight, as I said, is storytelling time. There were six of us after the professor. Five of us lining up after the great white chief. One day, I came to work and his chair was vacant and his man was absent. What had happened? I wondered. Then I began to inquire. Oh, they said, you know, the new government has come in called PAP. And the young PAPs have come in and investigated. And they found the two senior obstetricians and gynecologists were charging patients two bills, two sets of bills. One is government bill, one is my bill. You want my services, you pay. So the young PAPs came in and found out all these things. And they said, this is not good. This smells of corruption. So the professor and the opposite number called Dr. Sinha. Some of you may recall his name. The both of them were called quietly to resign, which they did. And so I came into the office and the office chair was vacant. And they told me, now is your chance. You better sit in it. I said, I don't need to sit. But, you know, by the end of the day, the two chiefs had not come to work. So anyhow, eventually I succeeded the professor. Not because of anything, but because of PAP. Now, what shall I say to you? I say, my pathway was mapped for me. I say to anyone here who is doing any course, do well, work hard, and try your best. Do your best. But commit your way to the Lord. Now, how did I get into this position of senior pastor of Calvary Pandan BP Church? Do you want to know? Yes, maybe I conclude with this. We were living in a place before I came out to Singapore called Senai. Most of you have seen now how Senai has grown and into an airport city for Johor Bahru. We live in Senai. When Father got his license to practice, it says allowed, permitted to practice in the state of Johor. So Kluang was all right because it is a railway town, but a one-street town. So Father went there, and all of us climbed on board an old lorry, and we all went. One day, a group of fishermen, hobby fishermen, who did that as a hobby, not for living, came from Batu Pahat and passed through Kluang on their way to Mersing. If you know your geography, that cuts across the peninsula and you are still in Johor State. So they came in, made friends with Father and told him, Lao Sing Seng, they thought my father was quite old and therefore addressed him as sir or old man. Why do you practice in this God-forsaken town of Johor? Batu Pahat is so much bigger and better. Come and see. So they went off to their haunt in Mersing to the east. And there they spent 2 days. Third day they came back. Drop in again and say, old Mr. Toh, you want to do? You like to see a bit of Batu Pahat? So father went with them and was convinced, because Batu Pahat is at least 3 times bigger than Gluang. So he went with them, and when he came back, he says, let's pack up. We pack up and move to Batu Pahat. So we did. Batu Pahat became our hometown for the next 25 years. It was so good. Fathers found, as they had told him, a good community of Teochews. And father, being Teochew, was quite happy that he could speak his lingo with them. But above all, they paid well. And so he had a good practice. And from there, we all picked up and did, I would say, not bad. Now, one day, this was in the day of John Sung. Do you know this hall is called the John Sung Memorial Hall? You see outside. Just as you enter, you can see a board which has been erected on the wall, John Sung Memorial Hall. Now, why did we put this up? I say that was a signal of our respect and our love for this man. When we were in Kluang, there came a lady called Miss Leona Wu. Those of you who are old enough, I'm afraid most of you are not old enough. So let me see a show of hands. Has anyone here heard Dr. John Sung preach? Anyone? Not one. Not one. I'm the only one. So we came to Kluang, and there came a lady called Miss Leona Wu. Leona Wu is a Hokkien lady who came from Amoy and who had studied in Nanjing and Beijing. And she was so enthusiastic, lectured my father and mother and all of us, you must go to Singapore to hear Dr. John Sung. He's coming here in August. It was about May or June when she told us this. She became the principal of the church kindergarten, Miss Leona Wu. By the way, she's dead already, so you can't visit her or see her. So she kept lecturing father and mother, became the best friend to mother. So after all the lecture, before Dr. John Sung came, the whole family took train and went down to hear this man of God preach. Now, I want to say this. Thank God for sending Dr. John Sung. Why did we name this as the Dr. John Sung Memorial Hall. Do you know why? When he preached, people repented, changed their lives immediately. You see, I've heard all the famous preachers from China, and there is no one who can compare with Dr. John Sung for results. People can preach as well. Yes, very well. But when it comes to results, nil. Dr. John Sung preached, and the man in Telok Ayer Street, where the church is, the man who ran the studio, artist studio, he had three wives. All three came to the meeting, as well as the husband. And all three were converted, all four, including the husband. So what do we do with the extra wives? The extra wives voluntarily resigned from their wifehood and went to seminary to study and to become missionaries. Amazing things. I'm just telling you one thing, but if you read my brother's book, every time he appeals for decisions and for people to come to the front and confess their sins, there would be 10 or 20 people who will respond immediately. Amazing. According to his record, there were 2,000 converts in the first campaign. Amazing thing. So I say, many friends ask me, hey, did Dr. John Sung leave his preaching tapes and so on? I said, I'm sorry, nothing. We could not record anything. The only thing we had was loudspeakers by Telefunken. Is it still a big that is still available? Telefunken, have you heard of it? Those loudspeakers relate his, Dr. John Sung's preaching. Whatever you say, when he preached, people repented. And many people gave their lives to serve the Lord, including Timothy To, my brother. And now, me. Now, my giving you this account is to tell you how I also gave my life to serve the Lord. Somehow, I miss the altar call in Singapore. So my brother wrote in his book that I had missed the calling and appeal to give our lives to serve the Lord, which I was regretting. And somehow, Mother one day said to me, it was a Thursday, sorry, it was the month after John Sung had finished in Singapore, oh, Seng Hua, today we are going to Mua. Now, some of you are from Mua. You know where is Mua? Mua is up the coast, 32 miles from Batu Pahat. So Mother asked me, we are going to Mua to hear Dr. John Sung's final message. Would you be interested? I said, I'm very interested because I missed the altar call in Singapore when Dr. John Sung appealed for those who want to serve the Lord full time. I came with Mother and Father. We went to Mua. And at the right time, Dr. John Sung gave the appeal. How many of you young people especially want to give your life to serve the Lord? I put my hand. And he says, come along to the prayer room and then I'll pray for you. The thing that I was impressed with is, don't make empty promises and afterwards say you forgot. If you promise to serve the Lord, carry it out. I did. God gave me the joy of offering myself for Him to use. I say the same thing to all of us here. You don't have to see me. You just say, Lord, take my life. Use me for thy own purpose and glory. And remember that you promised the Lord, which I did. Exactly 30 years later. Exactly. When was it that Dr. Johnson came to Moore? 1938. And so you add 30 years, it was 1968. 30 years after I resigned from the university. And the vice chancellor, who is the equivalent of what you call the principal, was a man, surname same as mine, To Jin Zai. He took the phone and called me. Why are you resigning? Do we have something we have not done? You better come and see me. I went straight to see him. I said, Dr. To Jin Zai, my reason for going is not because of any unfairness or ill treatment. I have only one reason. I want to serve the Lord. He understood. He says, you may go. I said, when I joined the department, I was the only man qualified with a specialist degree to look after the patients. Today, I've trained 7 others. And they can do all the things that I can do. I have done you no injustice. So he accepted that and let me go. So the man who succeeded me was called Professor S.S. Ratnam. Yes, some of you may have heard his name. Yeah, he did pretty well, except he began to sex change many people. Women made into men and men made into women. I said, that is not good. Anyhow, he did what he did. And he could not one thing do. That is, stop his drinking. He had a bad habit of drinking, which I knew when he was a student and when I was training him. Whereas the others will do assignments promptly. This man always came late because he was drinking. But eventually he died from pneumonia in the lungs because of his drinking. Anyhow, I'm telling you all this about this man and his habits. Killed by drinking. How wasteful a life, don't you think so?